So just pray again. Father, as we look at your word now together, we want you to, in your grace and your mercy, Father, we want you to speak to us. And we want to have hearts and minds that can hear what you say, and to have a willing spirit to put that into action. Amen. Just be yourself, they tell you, don't they? How many times have you heard somebody say that? It's a well-meaning phrase, I think, isn't it? That's fair to say. It's intended to encourage you. It's intended to boost your confidence. However, if you're sat here this morning and you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, then there is a calling on your life to be more than just yourself. In fact, the amazing thing is, for the follower of Jesus, it's less about being ourselves and much more about being like Christ. It's about being who we are in Christ. Being like Jesus means being a witness to him and what he has done for us. And whether we are witnessing to those around us, that could be our friends, our family, could be people at work, the Bible points us towards how we are to go about this. So with this in mind, I have three B's, that's not the buzzing kind, by the way, that I want to highlight from the passage that Dudley just read out in 1 Thessalonians. And it's all with this in mind that we seek to faithfully be who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to be moving around this passage a little bit, so I would encourage you to have a Bible open in front of you, not least so you can check for yourselves that what I'm saying is true, and I can't stress that enough. So, the first B that I have, and the first B that I would like to highlight this morning, is about our need to belong. So I've stretched it a little bit with that one. For us to be who we are in Christ, then we need to be assured and understand where we belong. And the passage here in 1 Thessalonians has a lot to say about that. So look at verse 5, which says, "You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." There's a vivid contrast here, isn't there? We have light and day contrasted with night and darkness. Day and light, night and dark. These are the only options. Notice, there is no dusk. There's no twilight. The clear message here is that true followers of Jesus belong to the light. They belong to the day. Now, I've brought a very special visual aid with me this morning, so just excuse me one moment, and I'm just going to show you. Right. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. Right. My boys all love this. Right, here we are. So, can anybody tell me what this is? Anybody want to say what this is? Anybody know what this is? Sure. Yeah, yeah, okay, good. Yes, but what?
American.
Okay, right, I feel aggrieved. It's actually a Manchester United football shirt. Now, I am pleased to own this, and very, very occasionally, on special occasions, like a Sunday morning in Milford Baptist Church, I will put it on. I have to be honest, the last 15 years have been tough as a Manchester United supporter. But the thing is, putting this shirt on, and then let's say I walk outside and go into Milford or put a really brave face and go across the road where they're probably playing football now, is me making a statement about where I belong, where my loyalties lie. No one's going to look at me, well, at least I hope not anyway, and say, "Oh, I can see you're a Liverpool supporter." It's clear to people which team I support and who I identify with. And here in verse 5, we have this reminder of the team we belong to. And the strip, if you like, of this team is one that shines brightly and contrasts starkly with the night. The point is, it should be clear to those around us who we belong to. And if you're a follower of Jesus, then the wonderful truth is that you belong to the day. You belong to the light. Ephesians 5 verse 8 says this, "For you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." A question is then, what does it mean to belong to the day, to belong to the light? As Christians, we know that the Lord Jesus is light. Jesus refers to himself as the light of the world. In John 8 verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then if we look at Matthew chapter 5 verse 14, Jesus says something astonishing. "You are the light of the world." To belong to the light, to belong to the day, means we are to reflect Christ. We shine his light in a dark world, a world where night reigns. I really think that each week there will be opportunity for us to shine a light into the dark world in which we live. And this is more than simply being a nice person. Because let's be honest, being nice is not a Christian distinctive. But being light in this dark world is a Christian distinctive. It might be that you are talking about current events with a non-believing friend, and this way, this might present you with an opportunity to take the conversation in the direction of the light. You could point out that despite things being quite bad, you have hope because of Jesus, because you belong to him. That could be one way, a simple, effective way of bringing true light into an otherwise dark situation. I want to encourage you and spur you on this morning to be bold in being light in the everyday situations that you find yourselves in. Look for and pray about opportunities to shine for Christ, and I will be doing the same. Here's another example of how you could be light in the darkness to show who you belong to. You may be aware that this month is Ramadan, and you might have even heard about the Ramadan lights down Oxford Street in London. As Christians, we should be concerned about the quickening pace of the Islamification of Britain. And this means we can be clear with friends and family that Islam and Christianity is not compatible. It's right to point out that Allah is not God. And above all, to belong to the light means we are clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Use current events, what's happening in the world around you, as opportunities to declare the truth of the gospel. Belonging to the light, belonging to the day, is about reflecting the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, to those around us. Be emboldened by the truth of who Jesus is. He's the King and he's on the throne. Despite this nation becoming darker day by day, I want to encourage you to see this increasing darkness as an opportunity to shine ever more brightly for Jesus. Look again at verse 5. We're all sons of the day, sons of the light. This is about a family resemblance. This is why the word son is important. I know in the version you read out, it's translated children, but actually it should say son, because sonship is what it's talking about here. We are taking on the resemblance of Jesus. We are to be him, as it were, to those around us. It might be tempting to want to stand in the shadows a bit, to not stick our heads above the parapet, figuratively speaking. It might even be like putting your hand over the badge on your football shirt, because you don't really want people to see which team you belong to or support. When a friend or neighbour says something to you that you know is contrary to the truth, contrary to the light, it's so easy to stay in the shadows, isn't it? I get that. I really do. I don't know about you, but I find myself wanting to be liked by people. I find myself wanting to be agreeable. But if I'm not careful, this can happen at the expense of the truth. At the expense of shining brightly, I can end up just shining dimly if I'm not careful. But as these days get darker, we are going to face a choice: to be counted as belonging to the light, to the day, or to capitulate and reside in the darkness, where we know in our hearts we don't actually belong. A question is then, how do we go about this? And I hope to point us in the right direction with my next 2 points. So let's move on. The second B I want to highlight is to be awake, or to be alert, as it might say in your version, your translation of the Bible. You see, for us to truly belong, we need to be awake. Look at verse 6, which says, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert," or awake, "and self-controlled." So here we have another contrast of those who are awake and those who are asleep. Imagine for a moment that you're travelling in a car on a long journey. You're going up to the Promised Land, which, in case you don't know, is Lancashire. And you have a car full of passengers. That's true. You have a car full of passengers and you are the responsible driver. The journey takes a long time, of course. It's up north, it's past Ringwood. But thanks to the millions of traffic cones and the fact that it gets really late by the time you approach the north. And as the driver, you have to stay awake, don't you? You have to stay alert if you're going to make it safely to your destination. If you don't and you fall asleep at the wheel, it's probably reasonable to assume that you won't make it to your destination. Verse 6 starts out by making it clear that Christians, that followers of Jesus, are not supposed to be like other people. Other people being asleep. Being awake, being alert, should be a defining characteristic of a follower of Jesus Christ. There is being alert to the dangers of sin that can so easily take a hold. That is vital to recognize that. But I think, I also want to point out that I think there's also the need for Christians to be alert to the ideological and political dangers of our culture. We need to be alert to that as well. And if you've heard me speak here before, you'll know I've spoken about the dangers posed by things like net zero agenda or the trans agenda, and there'll be many other things you could pick as well, elements of our culture which we need to measure against what the Bible says, so that we are not deceived, because we are awake. The point is, we are not like others who are asleep. Christians should be distinctive by being awake. Verse 7 says this: "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night." I think drunkenness is used here because that stems from a lack of self-control. So for you and me, self-control is how we can live lives as people of the light in a dark world, a sleeping world. And I'd really encourage you to look at the previous chapter, chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians, which talks much more about this and what God calls us to. Verse 8 says, "But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet." Again, this reminder that followers of Jesus, we belong to the day, we're to be self-controlled. But we also see how amazing God's word is here. Because you see, God gives us the means to actually do this. Look at what it says in regards to protecting the heart by putting on faith and love as a breastplate. Faith and love go hand in hand. And you cannot have one of these things without the other. And I really believe this is talking about primarily how our faith and love should be directed towards God. To have faith in God means that we start by believing he exists, first of all, that he sent his son Jesus to earth, that we are saved by putting our trust in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And we show our love for God by putting his word, his commands into action. Therefore, my response to what Jesus has done for me on the cross should be one of faith and love towards God. But there's another thing here in verse 8, isn't there? And that's we have the hope of our salvation to put on as a helmet. How do we apply this? Well, I think we start by bringing to mind that our salvation is in the past, insofar as what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We bring to mind that our salvation is in the present, in that we are being saved. The ongoing process of sanctification, which is you and me being made more and more like Jesus. And we bring to mind that our salvation is in the future, as we look forward to that glorious day when we are glorified and our salvation is brought to completion. See, here in verse 8, our future hope of salvation is underlined, as it were. It serves a very real practical purpose because it helps you and me to live out as being sons of the day and sons of the light in the here and now in this dark world. I guess a bad football analogy would be knowing my team was going to win the Premiership, the FA Cup and the Champions League. It actually happened once. But I know this is absolutely guaranteed. I know this is going to happen at the end of the season. I know this at the beginning of the season. It's guaranteed. It's that kind of thing. That's the kind of certain hope we're talking of here. It's in the future, yes, but we know that it's going to happen. With that in mind, I want to kind of circle back to the heading of this second point, which is for us to be awake. And I want to just look at verse 4, which says this, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief." And the day that it's referring to there is what's mentioned in the previous verses, where Paul talks about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's noticeable what's emphasized here in verse 4. Which is that we should not be surprised at Christ's return, because we are not a people who live in the dark. You see, Christians who are living in the light, who are living in the day, will be Christians who are thinking about, talking about, meditating on, proclaiming the return of Jesus. The Christian who lives like this, and I hope we all are, should not be surprised by Jesus' return, because they will be expecting it. Does that mean we'll know exactly when it will be? No. Even Jesus himself said that he doesn't know the day or the hour. But Jesus also points us to physical signs that take place in this world, which herald his imminent return. And we are to pay attention to that. Perhaps it is just me, I don't know, but I don't get the impression that the return of Jesus is at the forefront of many Christians' thinking today. And sadly, when churches neglect to talk about the return of Jesus, they can end up looking increasingly like the world because they are not proclaiming and living in expectation of Jesus' return. Yet that day is getting closer all the time. The clock is ticking down. Living in expectation of Christ's return is part of being awake, and it definitely affects how we understand the world around us. I wonder if you were aware today that the UK government declared today as a day of reflection to mark 5 years since COVID. Anybody aware of that? Sadly, 5 years ago, I think we saw just how much the UK church was asleep and worldly. So much so that for some churches, the idea of belonging, of being a good witness, was opening their doors as vaccination centres while still worshipping online. The question is, have we taken the time to consider what God might be saying to us about the last 5 years? You see, a church that is awake, living in expectation of Jesus' return, is not a church that is subsumed into the world's agenda, but it is one that resolutely points people to the only means of rescue that's not found in a jab, but is found in the cross of Christ. But it's not just COVID. It's Ukraine. It's climate change. It's the rise of Islam. It's the ever-increasing constraints on free speech. As Christians, we can no longer afford to reside in the twilight zone. Instead, we need to boldly step into the light, out of the world's narrative of the sleeping, and into the gospel narrative of the awake. I want to spur you on to recognize the times in which we live and look forward with anticipation to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because being an awake and alert believer will change how you witness to other people. The good news is this: we have every reason to be positive. To be awake is to show that we belong to the day, that we belong to the light. We are Christ's light bearers in this darkened world. We don't need to swallow the worldly agenda or the worldly narratives. We can stand instead as firm followers of Christ. To be who you are in Christ is to not only belong, but it's also to be awake. So let's move on. This brings me to my third and final point, which is that we are to be encouraging. So remember, we belong to the light, we need to be awake, but we also need to be encouraging one another. Verses 9 to 11 say this: "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." That's good news, isn't it? Verse 9 reminds us that because of Jesus, we no longer have an appointment with God's wrath. Instead, we have the completion of our salvation to look forward to. You see, the default human condition is to be under God's wrath. That's the default setting. It's only through rescue by the cross of Christ that that is changed. To be in Christ, that is to have our faith and trust in what he's done for us on the cross, is truly amazing. And we should never lose sight of what we have been saved from because of Christ. And verse 10 really underlines the eternal hope that the follower of Jesus has, doesn't it? And this follows on from chapter 4, verse 13. I'll just read that to you, which says this: "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." This life is not it. What a source of comfort that is when a believing spouse, friend or family member dies. Hope is not lost. We have everything to look forward to because death is not the end. With this in mind, as a church, you can be encouraging one another to be clear about the gospel. We have a message of profound hope for a world that is heading for disaster. Can I inspire you this morning to think how you would explain the gospel to a non-believing friend? Maybe practice on somebody you know well. You know inside what it is, but learn how to articulate it. It's really worth doing. It's worth spending time getting this right. It's vital to ensure you're proclaiming the right gospel. The amount of times I hear people talk about Jesus wants a relationship with you. Really? I thought, what's that in my Bible? Yes, I can have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus, but I need to be rescued from my sin. I need to be put right with God because I have an eternity in hell otherwise. Don't leave out the hard bits. Simply be faithful to the truth. And I'd encourage you strongly to practice this. It doesn't have to be like epic. Simple is great, but do that. And it leads us to our final verse this morning, verse 11, which says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Because we belong to the light, because we're alert, because we're awake, we can be encouraging to keep living this out. We get to build one another up in the truth contained in God's word. That's why what we're doing now is so important. What you do in the week is so important. We need one another in this mission. Keep encouraging, keep building up one another in the truth. So to close, I really do wonder whether we face a fork in the road as Christians. In one direction, we can stay in a state of slumber in the shadows of the world, or we can choose the other direction, which is to live fully in the light, being awake and alert, pointing people to Christ. Depending on which direction we choose will determine the price we pay. In the twilight direction, there will be little cost. Our witness will suffer, and in the end, the destination will not be what we expect. But if we choose to go in the direction of the light, then there will be a cost, there will be a price to pay, but it will be worth it. Because we will see God work in us and through us, and the destination will be glorious. And what's more is that we get to travel that road together. So can I urge you then to be who you are in Christ? To be a church that refuses to stand in the shadows, but instead seeks to be a light shining brightly. Don't compromise on truth. Don't go along with the worldly narratives. Instead, take this reminder seriously to belong to the light, to be awake, and to be encouraging one another as you witness to those around you. And may God bless you richly as you do that.